the Ephesian studies, but Corinthian studies, but I found some texts. I thought of some texts that would fit right in with the studies on 1 Corinthians. Before I read the text, I want to read this. Dr. Al Stidger relates that one evening during the Depression of the 1930s, he was discussing the general situation with some friends. The outlook was gloomy. Banks were closed, thousands were out of work, and men by the scores, faced with the collapse of their paper fortunes, were taking their own lives. "There isn't much to be thankful for," one of the company remarked. Sidger said, "Well, I, for one, am grateful to Mrs. Wendt." He explained that Mrs. Wendt was a schoolteacher who 30 years before had gone out of her way to encourage him in his studies. "Did you ever thank her?" someone queried. Dr. Sidger admitted that he never had. But that very evening he sat down and wrote her. In a few weeks, a reply to his letter, arrived, written in the shaky hand of an aged person. The letter read, "My dear Willie, I want you to know that your note meant to me what it meant to me. I am an old lady in my 80s, living alone in a small room, cooking my own meals, lonely, and seeming like the last leaf on the tree. You will be interested to know, Willie, that I taught school for 50 years, and in all that time, yours is the first letter of appreciation I have ever received. It came on a blue, cold morning, and it cheered my lonely old heart, as nothing has cheered me in many years. Give thanks for everything." So we turn to a few texts. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I've never spoken on these texts before on Thanksgiving, but they impress me. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I want to emphasize "in Christ Jesus" because we've been emphasizing that in our Corinthian studies. Then you have another one over in 2 Corinthians 9 and 15. "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." And in Colossians 1 and 12, "giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." My, that's something to give God thanks for. And then you have another in Ephesians 5:20, "giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Timothy 2:1, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth." 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's something to thank God for. Victory over death, grave, and hell. The last one in Revelation 4 and 9. "And when those living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever." we go from the first right up to we see a man sitting on the throne at the right hand of God. And we see those beautiful creatures giving thanks to God for his sitting there. And we sure can thank God, those of us who are saved after victory over sin, death, the grave. We too, when we see that occupier of that throne, will join with those living creatures to give thanks unto God. Now this morning, I want to speak on the thanksgiving that we have in all these texts. Here you have a command from God and a good reason to obey it. That was our text in Thessalonians. In everything give thanks. Why? Why is the reason? A good reason. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. We have a good reason to give God thanks, because it's God's will that we do so. How strange. We forget so often to give God thanks. There are two things every Christian should keep short accounts with God on. If a Christian sins, don't wait to kneel beside your bed at night to confess it. Confess it right then, and he'll forgive. And when some blessing comes your way, don't wait till you get on your knees at night to thank God for it. Thank him right then. Keep short accounts with God on confessing sin and giving him thanks. When the blessing comes or God answers your prayer, give him thanks. This is the will of God concerning you. To whom does he address these words? In everything, give thanks. Well, not to men indiscriminately. It's not for all men to give God thanks in this text. These words are addressed to men who are saved and women who are saved. We have a very sad scripture where we have the unthankful mentioned. That's over in Romans chapter 1 and 18 and 25, and I'm going to read this to you. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. God gave them up because they didn't give him thanks for what they saw as the evidence of his eternal being. God gave them all kinds of material, literal evidence by his handiwork that he was the giver of all these things. And they were unthankful. They didn't even believe that God was the author of all these things. Unthankful. What ingratitude. And today, I believe because of the mess the world is in today, and it's in a mess, it's because of ingratitude. How God has blessed our country. Think of the things we have, we enjoy, our affluent society. And although there are other countries, they seem to be superpowers, they're called upon as such. And although we have many mistakes, and made many mistakes as a nation, yet I'd sooner be in America than any other nation on earth. With all their military power, our country is a paradise compared to any other. Do we give God thanks every day for that? We can easily find fault with our country, but I'll tell you one thing. In spite of all our faults, I thank God for this country every day. And God intends that we should. And because man is so ungrateful, he accepts all the good things, and he magnifies all the bad things, and he forgets to praise God and thank God for the things he does enjoy. This has led to the mess we're in. Ingratitude to God for all that we enjoy. Men let days and weeks and almost months go by, for some don't even believe in God. Those that do, many of them don't even kneel once a day and thank God for the things we do enjoy. So we see the unthankfulness, the ingratitude of men and women. The natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. How can he give God thanks if he's unsaved? He can't. He can't. God won't accept it if you're unsaved. He's talking to Christians here. In everything give thanks. Let's go back to the first of this book and see about these people, these Thessalonians. This is what you read. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians which is in God. These people were in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing our work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. These people had turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. These people had been delivered from the wrath to come. Therefore, Paul says, give God thanks. These are Christians who are thus thanking God. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I trust we as Christians will know something of thanking God. Apart from the material, tangible, physical things we enjoy, oh, to be able to thank God for the spiritual blessings. They're constantly ours. Another thing, when you stop to think of ingratitude, think of the 10 lepers the Lord healed. And Christians can be guilty of ingratitude. After you're saved, the Lord healed 10 lepers. One returned to give him thanks. 1 out of 10. And they were all cleansed. How pitiful the words of the Lord Jesus. Where are there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Am I among the 9 who receive God's bounty physically, materially, and above all, spiritually? And I don't have time to give him thanks. How ungrateful men and women are in this matter. One could read a lot of scripture relative to man's ingratitude. You could read over in Malachi for chapter 1, verses 6 to 10, and I'll read it to you. I don't suppose you'll read it. So I'll read it. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. This is God complaining of their ingratitude. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. O priest that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, it is not evil. And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now to your governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto you. This hath been by your means. Will ye regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there among you that would shut the doors for naught You priests are supposed to be janitors and open shutting the doors of the temple. And you won't do it without pay. You got to be paid for everything. God says, who is he, or there even among you, that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle a fire on my altar for naught. You got to be paid for everything. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept any offering at your hand. Here's a people so blessed of God and they can't do anything. And praise God for the opportunity. They got to be paid for it. Isn't it a sad situation for an almighty God to look down upon his people in such a condition? Now he says, in everything, give thanks. Oh, but you say, Brother Wilson, I can thank God for something, but not everything. That's what it says on two occasions, the text we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and also in Ephesians 5:20, give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it means taking the bitter with the sweet. It's not always sweet. We get the bitter. Can you thank God for the bitter as well as the sweet? Can you thank God for the desert as well as the river road that's so pleasant and plenty of water? Are we just going to thank God when we get what we want and what pleases us? People say, the Lord was so good to me during that illness or that experience. Had he not raised you up, would he not still have been good? Did he not have a purpose? That's what he's talking about. James says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ah, yes, all things work together for good to them that love God. You notice in this text, it says, note this, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What does the word this refer to? The thing or the thanks? The thing or the experience through which you passed or the thanks? Which is the will of God? Both. For this is the will of God concerning you. One doesn't want to be a fatalist, like some people seem to be. But here are three texts that popped into my mind. I want to read them to you. First one's in 1 Corinthians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication or keep your body from unclean practices. This is the will of God, that you keep your body from unclean practices. Now that's God's will. But doing God's will demands your help, your participation. This is God's potential will, made possible only with your cooperation. It's God's will that Christians live consistent lives. That's what the Bible says right in this verse. But remember this, although that's God's will, you've got to cooperate. How we are going to live a consistent life that glorifies God unless you study your Bible and spend time in prayer and live for him? And then here's another verse I want you to notice, a very important one, in 1 Timothy 2:4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? God wants, it's God's will that all men be saved. But all men are not going to be saved. Only those who accept the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be saved. But God has made provision for all men. But it's not a hard and fast rule. Well, everybody's going to be saved because God says it's his will. Here's another one of those potential wills of God, only made possible by your salvation, by your accepting Christ. God willeth that all men be saved. It's God's will that a Christian be baptized. It's God's will that a Christian remember the Lord. But that depends on your obedience. This is what God wants to be done. But man is responsible. Then there's another text, just the opposite. If God willeth not the death of any man, but that all men should be saved. Notice verse 9 of 2 Peter 3. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. God wills that all men should be saved. But all are not going to be saved, only those who accept Christ. It's not God's will that any man should perish, and yet many are going to perish. It's not God's will. God's not determining your eternity. Whether you're going to be in heaven or hell is entirely up to you, made plain in these texts. These are the potential will of God. Man has got to cooperate. This is a decision you've got to make. This is clearly given us in the Bible. Tragedies are not trials, if God permits them. Think about that. A tragedy or a trial. In other words, you can't look upon them as something that was absolutely foreign to God. Tragedies and trials, God's people have had them. God is teaching you lessons in those tragedies and in those trials. Think of the case of Joseph. Joseph at the age of 16. Here he was, practically kidnapped, taken by his brother, stripped him of his coat of many colors, killed a goat and stained the blood, stained that coat of many colors with the blood of the animals, took it back to the father and said, here, we found this coat. You discern whether it's Joseph. They knew. Poor old Jacob liked to die. He said, that's my son's coat, an evil beast had killed him. 16 years of age. Poor Joseph, envied, hated, sold into Egypt, slandered, lied about by Potiphar's wife, and thrust into prison. Yes. But now at 32, he's governor of the land of Egypt, next to Pharaoh on the throne. He's grown, his features have changed. Something happens. God brings a famine upon Egypt, and Joseph's brethren, the famine reached up to where they live, and they come down to get some help because they've heard of all the wheat there is down and grain there is down in Egypt. They came down, and Joseph detected them immediately. He says, you're a bunch of spies. The moment he saw them, he knew his brethren. They didn't know him. He said, you're a bunch of spies. We're no spies. You are spies to see the nakedness of the land I eat. 7 times during those events, Joseph went aside and wept for his brethren. He loved them, but he couldn't forgive them or give them their grain until they confessed their dirty deed. After it was all over, old Jacob had died. Joseph said to his brethren, and they were talking among themselves, now that our father's dead, Joseph, he'd like to pay us back. He'd like to make it hard for us. I want you to listen to some of the most touching words from Joseph. And all that he suffered. These are the words in Genesis 45:5. He's talking to his brethren. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Joseph looked upon all that he had suffered at the hands of his own brethren, He didn't blame them. He says God was in all this. God was in all this. Imagine that. If that didn't soften their hearts, what would? He didn't blame them. I want to say this, that God's purpose and plan did not diminish the atrocity and sin of Joseph's brethren. But it was God's plan that was worked out. And Joseph took it. And he thanked God for it. His was the road of affliction. Affliction. A lot of affliction at the hands of his loved ones. And yet he said, I see God's plan through it all. God's purpose was in it. I hold no hard feeling. Here's something God wants his children to learn. Giving thanks when we go through hard times, deep water, rough experiences. Hard to take. The only way you can take these things is when you accept them as the will of God. Not his perfect will. Not his directive will. He didn't direct those things intentionally. But God's permissive will. He permits these things to happen. That we as Christians might learn lessons at his hand. We have an evidence of God's permissive will time and time again in the Scripture. For our good and for his glory. And Joseph's case is a case in point. I wonder if we as Christians have learned it. Can you say this morning, I thank God for eyes to see. I thank God for ears to hear. I thank God for a tongue to taste good food. I thank God for senses, a smell of lovely flowers and fragrance. I thank God for a smell of fresh fruit and food. I thank God for touch, the feel of a baby's hand, or the clasp of a loved one. Oh, I thank God for these things. I thank God for life itself. To be loved and to love. I thank God. And if you want to get the urge to thank God, take a visit to Palmyra Old Folks Home. And you come out thanking God. And if you don't, you've got a hard heart. But above all these things, material blessings, I thank God that I'm saved. I thank God, as we read in one of those beautiful passages, such as we have in Colossians 1. I want to ask you, can you give thanks for this? Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. Can you thank God he's delivered you from the power of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of God, dear son? Can you thank God that you have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin? That's something to thank God for, isn't it? Now, these Thessalonians, they passed through many an experience that was hard to take. And on each occasion, they thanked God, just like Joseph. I'm going to read you a few. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy. Yes, they passed through a lot of affliction, but they had joy. Then you have in verse 2, chapter 2 and 14, for ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. There it is again, in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. You Gentiles have suffered because you're Christians. Also you have in chapter 3 and verse 5, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." The devil tempted you, people, because you're Christians. For these Christians were sorrowing because loved ones had died, and they thought that was the end. What sustained them? Verse 4 and 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them." You Thessalonians, you've gone through all these afflictions, persecution, tried by the devil, the loss of loved ones, and he says in our text, "Give thanks. Give thanks. For this is the will of God. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You who sit here this morning, Christians on the way to heaven, can you give thanks for your present circumstance? Let's go to the most marvelous example of giving thanks of all. The night before the Lord Jesus was to be betrayed, he instituted the feast we had this morning, and he took the loaf, the bread, and he gave thanks. He knew what that loaf meant, his body. He knew what that body was going to suffer at the hands of men and the hands of God. He knew the dark cloud that was gathering over Golgotha's hill. He knew the storm that was going to break. He knew it all. And he quietly gave thanks. He took the cup. He gave thanks. He didn't complain. He gave thanks. He gave thanks for the privilege of doing the Father's will. He said, "I delight to do thy will, O my God." And he gave thanks for the bread and the wine. He gave thanks. Over in Matthew chapter 11, when the cities rejected him, and everyone turned against him, we read these amazing words. "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, so it be in thy sight." To think the Lord Jesus could thank God for being rejected of men. Thank God for the privilege of laying down his life for you and me. Thank God for the privilege of suffering at the hands of men of God, men and God, that you and I might be saved. This is thanksgiving. And the Lord Jesus sets the path. We like to thank God when the sun's shining. We get three good meals a day. And a bed. Everything's going our way. Oh, it's so easy, thank God. Can we thank God when things are in the reverse? What thanks do you think pleases God the most? The thanks he gets when he's loaded up with benefits? Or the thanks he gets when times are rough and tough? We have little evidence of the goodness of God materially. Or physically. Body racked with pain. Can I thank God then? That's the kind of thanks that God loves to get. In everything, give thanks. We read in one of our texts, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." We read in God's word about unspeakable words. Paul said, "I was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words." We read about unspeakable joy. an unspeakable gift. These are things, unspeakable things. Do I give thanks for these? We haven't time to go over to Colossians 1, 12 to 14, or 1 Corinthians 15, 57, Revelation 4, 9. Things that happen through life, things that are going to happen at death, if we have to go through death's dark waters, things that we'll have in eternity when we see the man sitting on the throne, oh yes, we can thank God for these things. Wonder if you can thank God this morning for salvation, that you're saved, your sins are forgiven, you're on the way to heaven. Brother Roy Haddon is sitting over here. Took him visiting with me one day, about 10 days ago. He's coming back from Five Points. He passed some places that he knew when he was sitting at the throne. He said, I thank God for you people. Why? 4.5 years ago, he came up here one Sunday morning. He says, the devil's had me for 75 years, but I got seven this morning. Why, Lord? He said, I got Christ. He said, I thank God for you people. Roy's father was a preacher. His name's on the cornerstone of a church down the country. And the reason he started coming here first, I think he heard that I used to work on the railroad, and of course railroad men have a kind of a fraternity. He started coming here. But when he heard me preach, he says, you preach just like my father. Just like my father. Roy had a godly mother and a godly father. He told me about it. They prayed for him. They went to heaven without their prayers being answered. But their prayers were answered here about 4.5 years ago. And he'll see his parents. And how happy they'll be to see him there. Yes, friend, you're hearing the gospel this morning. And I hope some of you in days to come will be able to say, I thank God for you folks. You gave me the gospel. You showed me the way to heaven. Can you thank God for hearing the gospel? Many people this morning are sitting in pews, expensive pews, hearing a message with no gospel in it at all. Modernism. But you're listening to the old-fashioned gospel, something that will save you if you believe it. You should give God thanks for that. We don't ask your money. All we ask is your attention to the message we preach. We want to see you in heaven. Even if you don't thank me, we want you to thank the Lord. And sing that lovely whole hymn, Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me so great salvation, so rich and free. We're going to sing that hymn, just a chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. You can't sing that unless he has saved your soul. This is going to be a hymn that's going to stop your lips. You're either going to sing it and mean it, or sing it and tell a lie. How can you thank the Lord for saving your soul when you haven't accepted it? You're hearing the gospel. I trust this morning you'll accept Christ, and this will be your happiest Thanksgiving. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come into thy presence. We thank thee for thy precious holy word. Oh, we thank thee for sending thy Son. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the day when the Holy Spirit convicted us through that word. And we accepted Christ and found ourselves in Christ on the way to heaven. Oh, how we thank thee. We thank thee for our country. We thank thee for all here who are saved. We even thank thee for those here who are not saved because they're hearing the gospel and can become Christians. We trust that some will. As we sing this closing hymn, may some precious soul thank God for the first time for thy wonderful salvation. We ask it in our Savior's name. Amen. Shall we stand and sing 500 or 630? 630. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. If you haven't accepted Christ, do it as we stand and sing.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me the great salvation so rich and free.
I'm going to sing it one more time, and Christians, really thank them. And if anyone's not saved, you'd like to thank them. Trust them now, or come up after, and I'll be glad to go into the room with you with my Bible and show you how you can thank them for salvation. Shall we sing it the second time?
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation.